وما كانت من الخسيات من عند شلاكة تكشور النيلي تامين التسمى يشيب لبينه.
The description of Nandotsav, the festival performed by Nanda Maharaj for the birth of Krishna. And later today we'll be celebrating not Nandotsav but Jagannath Rath Yatra Mahotsav, different festival. Both are similar in as much as they are the appearance of the Lord. The Lord appeared as the son of Yashoda, first of all as the son of Devaki, or here it's described as actually as the son of Yashoda. That question came up a few days ago. Someone was asking, is that who is the real mother of Krishna? Is it Devaki or Yashoda? So I gave the answer that actually neither of them, because no one is the mother of God. God is the Pitahamatya Jagata Mata Tata Pitamaha. He's the mother of everyone. Who is the mother of God? But then out of his lila he accepts Devaki is real mother, Yashoda is also real mother. As it's not unreal. The love Devaki has for Krishna and Krishna has for Devaki, it's all real. And who is the real mother and father? Just here we have some, not many fathers present here. I think the only father present here is Mahamurti. Also has children. Okay, so we have two fathers here. But you're not the real father of your children. Pundarik and Chiranjeev are not your sons. It's only an illusion presented by the material energy that they're actually your sons. But the real father and mother of everyone is Krishna. So Devaki and Yashoda, they are not his mother. But yes, they are his mother in a more real sense than any mother and father of this material world, because that is an eternal relationship. If you say we use the real mother and father, we think here the question of cutting the umbilical cord comes up. Did it really happen with Krishna or not? But it doesn't matter whether it happened or not, because anyway Yashoda and Devaki are the real mothers of Krishna. And he has so many mothers in different incarnations, and in Vrindavan there are so many mothers. All the women, all the elderly gopis, they all became the mother of Krishna because Krishna took the forms of their sons when they were kidnapped by Brahma. So that's the real motherhood. We think who is the real mother, that's based on this question comes up when you think that, well, which womb did Krishna come out of? But Krishna doesn't come out of any womb. He's present everywhere all the time. So the real relationship is based on that eternal loving relationship on the spiritual platform of the devotees giving themselves to Krishna and Krishna giving themselves to the devotee. So that's the real relationship of motherhood, fatherhood. That's why Krishna is Pita, Mata, Dhata, Pitamaha. He's everything to the whole universe, because he has an eternal relationship with every living being in the universe. Ramai Vamsha, Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta, Sanatana. So we are thinking, because we're on the material platform, we're thinking real relationship is dependent on popping out of a body. But that's not the real criterion of motherhood or fatherhood. On the spiritual platform, on the real platform, the criterion is that of... You can't do anything about it. Well, I mean, how many days is this going on? Can you do something? Can you personally take the responsibility of doing something about this? Well, not now. It has to be repaired. It won't happen today, I don't think. Maybe you can do it this morning. So Thursday morning, please make sure something is done to repair this. Jai Shamsun. Because we're on the material platform, we think what is real, what is here is real, but it's not. What is on the spiritual platform, that is real. That's why that we have to understand Shastra through the Acharya. Here Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is explaining, giving many evidences from Shastra, that actually Krishna was born to Yashoda physically, or superficially, physically. That Krishna is the actual son of Yashoda, as much as he's the actual son of Devaki, if you want to measure by such a yardstick. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he's seen from the real platform. You know, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he also explains the meaning of the word two here, which without that spiritual insight, who can understand what is the meaning of this word two? Nandas Tva Atmaja. Two Atmaja. You might think that words like cha, two, eva, they're inserted into a verse just to fill the meter, because there has to be a certain number of syllables. But when the word two is inserted here, it doesn't increase the number of syllables, because if the two mixes with the atma to become twatma, isn't it? Twatma japa. So it doesn't increase the number of syllables. So what is the Vishwanatha Chakravarti's analyze? Why is this being inserted here? What is? So that's to give significance to emphasize the point that it was Nanda's two, not Vasudeva's two. That Nanda was celebrating the birth ceremony of Krishna, not Vasudeva, who should be doing it. You'd think it would be Vasudeva who would do it, but actually it was Nanda doing it. So again, if that question comes, who are the real parents of Krishna? Well, in another sense, Yashoda and Nanda are more than Devaki and Vasudeva, because they enjoyed the childhood pastimes of Krishna, and they had the very intimate feeling. They could never consider that Krishna is anything but our son. Whereas Vasudeva and Devaki, they saw Krishna coming first of all in four-handed form. Their feelings, their loving feelings of him as their son, were mixed with the conception of him being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is not a very compatible mixture of rasas. The parental affection and the awe and reverence, Shanta Ras and Vatsalya Ras, they don't mix together very well, but sometimes that awe and reverence of considering the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vasudeva and Devaki had that. We see that when Krishna, after killing Kansa, Krishna and Balaram came before Vasudeva and Devaki, and they were very respectful to him. Yes, they were thinking he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so Krishna covered over that feeling so that their natural paternal and maternal parental feelings could be awakened. Whereas for Nanda and Yashoda and for all the residents of Vrindavan, they couldn't entertain such a concept, even though there was ample evidence that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They couldn't maintain such a concept, because their feelings for Krishna, that he's our loving child, they're too strong. Even Yashoda, she was sitting with Krishna on her lap, naughty boy, eating dirt. Krishna says, no, I don't believe you. Your elder brother Balaram, why would he lie? He said you ate dirt. All the boys said you ate dirt. Okay, open your mouth, let's see. You'll be punished severely if it's true. So he opened his mouth, and there she saw within his mouth all the dirt in the universe and everything else in the universe. You think I'm eating dirt? I can eat dirt. Why shouldn't I eat dirt? I've got everything. Why not only dirt? So she saw everything, including herself. She saw all the universe, and she saw Gokul, and she saw a picture of herself holding Krishna and looking in his mouth. So then she thought, well, maybe Krishna's gone. And Krishna thought, this is not very good. So he started crying, I want some milk. And immediately she forgot. What's more important, Krishna being God or Krishna being my son? He needs some milk. He needs some milk right now. So he may be God, he may not be God, but he needs some milk. That also comes, we see, Jagannath Mishra, he was always chastising Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he's very naughty child. If you think Krishna was naughty, then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu much, much worse, actually. Very severely, very badly behaved. Parents, take heart. If your children are badly behaved, actually Prabhupada said that if they're badly behaved, it's a sign of intelligence. Your sons are intelligent? Of course, not like there was that, who was that? Was that Amshuman, was it? He was very badly behaved. He used to, in playing with the children, he used to kill them, throw them in the river Sharayu and drown them. No. Vena came later. Saga was a good guy. His son was Vena's. His son was Vena, or his grandson was Vena. Amshuman. It's all anyway. You don't know, I don't know. Let's be honest. You're not that intelligent. You weren't naughty enough as a child. Yeah. You're just trying to make up for it now. It doesn't work now. You may become intelligent in your old age. Don't mind. So, anyway, this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very naughty, very badly behaved. Sometimes he'd have a big fit and break everything in the house, smash everything in the whole house, throw it all on the floor, and then lie down on the floor. And his mother would say, well, what's going to happen? You just destroyed all the food and scattered it everywhere and broke everything. He said, well, you should just depend on Krishna. Krishna looks after everybody. Krishna wants to feed you, he'll feed you. So this was after Jagannath Mishra passed away. So, and when Jagannath Mishra was present, he was always trying to discipline his son, keep him well behaved. One time he stopped him going to school because he thought, what happened? My eldest son, after so much time I got a son, because just like Devaki's children, one by one they were killed by Kamsa. So similarly, Jagannath Mishra's children, one by one after birth they died. So eventually he got a son who stayed alive, Vishwarup. Then he became very educated and thought, this world is all maya. I'm taking sannyasa. Yeah, he heard that Jagannath Mishra was looking for a nice, eligible girl for him. So he thought, there are many nice, eligible girls in Navadvip, but I don't want any of them. I'm going to take sannyas. So he went off and took sannyas. So then Jagannath Mishra, he heard that, when he thought of this, he thought, well, I only got one son left now, and my wife's old, and I'm old, so better not educate. This education is a very dangerous thing. It's true. Education is very dangerous. So he thought, now my son Nimai, he should not be educated. Better he remains a fool. At least he'll be at home. I can see him. If he goes off and takes sannyas, then there won't be anyone left. So then Nimai, he became very naughty as usual. So even more naughty, because he wanted to have his education. And he needs education. So anyway, Jagannath Mishra, he was chastising his son like anything. So in one night in a dream, a Brahmin came. He said, what are you trying to chastise your son for? Just consider, if he happens to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or highly elevated person, what good will be your chastisement? Why are you trying to train him? If he's already a great personality. So Jagannath Mishra replied in the dream that, look, he might be God. You say he's God, I don't know. As far as I'm concerned, he's my son. It's my duty to train him and punish him. So this feeling that was there, Jagannath Mishra is described as being all the fathers, Kashyap, Nanda, Vasudev, all the different fathers of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, combined in the personality of Jagannath Mishra, who's the father of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that feeling is there. That is the Vatsalya Bhav, that he's my son. He's not God. What do you mean he's God? How can it be God? He's sucking the breast of my wife. He's God, everyone's worshipping him. I told him to bring my slippers, and this little boy Krishna is picking up slippers and struggling because he's only a little boy. How can you think of such a person as God? So that Krishna likes. When the devotees have such a feeling, so Vishwanath Chakravarti, his commentary has been given here. Especially Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, as an acharya, he's giving commentary on the Bhagavata, which is very much completely from this spiritual platform of rasa. That he's seeing the different pastimes of Krishna, especially in Krishna in different incarnations. What are the inner meanings of what's going on, especially Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has given many wonderful purpose to explain, because he's seeing this. Bhakti Stanisasra Thakur used to explain that there's the agyarudhi, or the understanding of the materialistic people, and vidvatarudhi means the understanding of those who are actually intelligent and learned. So when a materialistic person reads the Shastra, they get all the wrong idea. They can't understand it. They can't begin to understand it. They'll give all kinds of funny, wrong ideas. Just like you'll find that them say that Nityananda Prabhu preached to the Suvarna Vaniks, the rich gold merchant community, so as to get some funds for his preaching. He was making, doing life membership among the Suvarna Vaniks, something. A very stupid idea. You see, what to speak of Nityananda Prabhu, even an empowered devotee like Madhvacharya, if he wants, he can just make some gold. He can just make tamarind seeds turn into gold. There was some complaint of poverty at the home of Madhvacharya from his parents. So he took some tamarind seeds and converted it into gold coins. So even what to speak of, even a yogi can make gold. What to speak of this, of the Supreme Lord. There's no question of shortage. But materialistic people, they always see from the external point of view. And Krishna also acts in such a way, and Shastra is also written in such a way, to bewilder the atheists, so that they can have such an understanding, so that they'll remain away from Krishna. Just like Krishna, he was apparently killed by the arrow in his foot, shot by Jarada Hunter. So as far as the materialists are concerned, Krishna was killed. And it said that he was killed in such a way by a low-class person, because for a Kshatriya, to be killed by an arrow is not a bad thing. But he should be killed in battle. That's glorious. By another Kshatriya. That's why Kshatriyas, they won't fight with low-class people. They won't fight. You see the Yavana Raj, this Kala Yavana. He came to attack Krishna, and Krishna didn't want to fight with him, because it's not, you're not supposed to fight with low-class people. If you get killed by a low-class person, you go to hell. But if you're killed by another Kshatriya who's following the Vedic principles, then you get absolved from all your sins and you go to the heavenly planets. So it was considered for a respectable person to be killed in such a way by a stray arrow from a low-class hunter. It's considered a very inauspicious death. And so the materialists, they interpret that Krishna was killed in such a way. There are different interpretations, because Ram shot Bali from behind without, in a very ignoble way. So Krishna, as a result of his sinful reaction, he had to suffer in such a way. This is how the materialists will interpret. They'll see like this. Actually, in Bhagavatam it's described, because Bhagavatam is the Purana Mamala. There's no question of any materialistic concept in the Bhagavatam. Of course, the materialists, they'll see everything in a materialistic way. But that's described in the Bhagavatam, that Krishna apparently left a material body for the benefit of the atheist, to say, just see. And meanwhile, in his original spiritual form, he went back to his original abode. It's clearly stated there. And all the demigods, they were lauding him, and Krishna ignored them because he didn't want to go and visit anyone to go. He didn't want to waste any. He already visited Indra. When he went to Indra, instead of welcoming him, he had a big fight with him. He went through all the planet, all the areas of the universe to reach Mahavishnu. He'd done what he had to do. His incarnation was finished, so he didn't want to stop making so many different social visits with so many different demigods. He went back to Gokul, to Golok. And of course his pastimes are going on everywhere else. So Krishna, everything he does is fully transcendental. But for the materialists, they want to deny Krishna. Avajananjimang Rudha Vanishing Tanamashritam. They insist that Krishna is a materialistic person. So for them, Krishna is a materialistic person. As far as their concept is concerned, they consider reality to be according to what they see and how they interpret it, that they consider to be reality. So for them, Krishna, according to their concept of reality, Krishna is just another materialistic person, like them, or worse. They'll complain, he's immoral. I'm moral. Krishna is immoral. I'm more than Krishna. I'm better than Krishna. They have such a concept. Prabhupada explained that about the deity. He said, don't think this deity is simply made of brass. This is Krishna. He has come with you. He's come to be with you. He wants to speak with you. Krishna is ready. You have to make yourself ready by serving him with the understanding that this is Krishna. But if you think this is a brass made idol, he will be a brass made idol to you forever. As far as you're concerned, he'll be a brass made idol. And then you won't have anything more or see anything more. People sometimes say, you see, they broke the deity. There's one class of religious people who I think maybe more than 100 million of them in this country who have in their tradition they have breaking idols. So they say, you see, we killed the god. We killed the Hindu god. You may say, well, why does Krishna allow that? Why does he allow such things? So many times deities are stolen, sometimes melted down, taken to the British Museum. Jagannath's diamond is stolen and cut up, put in the crown jewels of the British Empire. After that, the empire stopped being an empire. So why is that? Why are such things allowed? Because Krishna is reciprocating. If you take Krishna to be an idol, if this is idol worship, then that will, as far as you are concerned, you see like that. But for the devotee, they see Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Krishna. Other people might see so many other things. Jagannath, one time the Buddhists were prominent in India, so they said, this is a Buddhist deity. Jagannath, the Shaivites say, Jagannath is Shiva. They have some interpretation. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he didn't see some Buddhist idol. He didn't see Lord Shiva. He didn't see Dwarika Krishna. He saw Dvibhuj Muralida, two-handed Krishna, holding the flute. This is how he saw Krishna. So Krishna reciprocates, as you like. If you think Krishna is a rascal, you may think like that. You may think, yes, Krishna will allow you. But the result, you'll get a different result. Just like some people say, there are as many paths as you like. That's true, in one sense. That there are many paths and many different opinions. But it's not that all the paths lead to the same destination. That is the mistake. If you think Krishna is a rascal, you are a rascal. And you go to the destination of rascals. But if you think Krishna is our worshipable Lord, then you go to Krishna to reciprocate with Him in His real existence. Then we may say, well, if you think of Krishna as you like, then He reciprocates with you in that way. But what is the actual reality? The reality is that Krishna is not made out, He's not a brass made idol. The reality is not, He's not wood. The reality is not that Krishna is a mundane person. The reality is that Krishna is the ultimate truth. He is the absolute truth. The absolute truth means that on which everything rests. Every other truth is a relative truth. It's relative to everything else. Ultimately, but then you may say, how is everything, this is the problem of the scientist. How can everything be relative to everything else? There's no fixed constant. There is a fixed constant, that's Krishna. You can't see Him because you're always trying to look for the truth through your telescope or through your mathematical equations. But Krishna is the absolute substantive principle upon which everything else is dependent, and He is independent. That is the meaning of absolute. Swatantra, Swarat, He is independent, but He becomes dependent upon Yashoda and Devaki, Nanda, Vasudeva. Who can understand? Vishwanath Chakravarti can understand. He's explaining like this. His 10th canto is very intimate, all these dealings of Yashoda, how she's feeding Krishna, how Krishna is joking with the cowherd boys and the gopis. This is not meant for the atheists and demons. They should not even, for the atheist and demon, it's better they don't even come anywhere near the Srimad Bhagavatam. Better you don't read scripture at all for such a person. For someone who's of such a mentality, who is determined to reject Krishna, it's better they don't come near to Krishna, because they'll make more offenses. Such a person, it's better that they approach through the, if they're at all to be purified, that is by the mercy of the devotees. If you try to approach Krishna directly, we have so many wrong ideas about Krishna, that if we approach directly, if we don't approach through the authorized path, then simply we'll make offenses. That's again a reason. You have to have a guru to guide, who will guide in the proper way how to approach Krishna. Or even if you get someone who's apparently a devotee but doesn't properly understand Krishna, then again you'll get the wrong idea. We see so many so-called Vaishnavs who are mixed with Mayavad or Sahajya, and they'll give so many wrong ideas about approaching Krishna. Therefore, we're studying Srimad Bhagavatam. This Bhagavatam is meant for devotees, those who have dedicated their life to Krishna. Prabhupada had this program. Bhagavatam class in the morning, Gita class in the evening. Gita class, there may be some more general philosophy. So many people may be coming from outside. Morning Bhagavatam, that is meant for those who are desiring to be rasik, muhuraho, rasika bhubi bhavaka. This, the rasa of Srimad Bhagavatam, that can be appreciated by those who are dedicated their lives to relishing this rasa, which can be relished by seva, those who have dedicated their lives to serving Krishna, those who are committed to Krishna. They can begin to understand who is Krishna as described in Srimad Bhagavatam, the personality of Krishna. In Gita, we get a general idea of Krishna, what is his magnificent topmost position, what is his personality. Also some indication is given there, but that is developed in Srimad Bhagavatam. Especially Shukdev Goswami has made it more sweet, because he's rasik bhakta. He's relishing the mellows of Madhurya Ras. He's relishing those mellows. So all of Shukdev's descriptions, they are pervaded by this sweetness. And that rasa that is being churned more and more and more by the different acharyas who have described, especially Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has described. So this can begin to be understood by those who are engaged in devotional service. They can begin to understand what is described by the acharyas. It's not meant for everybody. They have this Bhagavad Sapta and they're describing so many different intimate pastimes. No, it's not meant for those who have not dedicated their life to Krishna. Such people, if they hear, they will misunderstand. Guaranteed, there's no question of them not misunderstanding. You must misunderstand. If you don't approach this knowledge by the Acharya Parampara system, then misunderstanding guaranteed. And if you take to the Parampara system, following carefully all the rules and regulations, then understanding guaranteed. You have to approach properly. If either the teacher is himself not understanding properly, or the student is not acting properly as a student, then understanding will not take place. But if one is a sincere student, very carefully hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and acting according to the directions of Srimad Bhagavatam, performing the life of bhakti, then gradually he can understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Now this very intimate pastimes of Krishna are beginning. How Krishna, his childhood pastimes, beginning from crawling, standing up, holding the tails of the cows. These are all, sometimes we say intimate pastimes means gopi lila, but actually all the pastimes of the Supreme Lord are very intimate. But especially Krishna, how he's playing, how the gopis are, all the pastimes of Krishna, beginning from his childhood, all very intimate. They can be understood by devotees. Hare Krishna. Any question?
Sometimes devotees say that I only have attraction for the knowledge pastimes and the later pastimes of Krishna the king seem to have not so much rasa and just killing demons or conquering territories.
Sometimes devotees say, I don't have much attraction for Krishna's later pastimes, I only like Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. He's only acting as formally as a king conquering territories. That means you don't understand. He's not simply acting as a formal king. He's reciprocating with his devotees. That's everything Krishna does is for reciprocation with his devotees. There's no rasa between Krishna and Rukmini. She's just some kind of slave woman that the feminists want to liberate. There's no feeling, there's no affection. Rukmini is not an exalted person. She's not the internal potency of the Supreme Lord. Who is saying that? They're relishing They're only relishing Vrindavan pastimes. Let them go to Kalban and say that. They're relishing that. And then sometimes they're relishing someone else's wife. Are they relishing Mangalarti? Prabhupada called this Sahajya. If one is, of course, that is also stated by some of our acharyas, Raghunath Das Goswami. We have heard, not that Prabhupada quoted this, but we've heard later from others, that Raghunath Das Goswami said, "I don't even care for Vrindavan or Krishna without Radharani." That's Raghunath Das Goswami. You come to that platform if you can. Raghunath Das Goswami, what was he eating? Just little buttermilk once every 2 days or something. Why? Not because he wasn't doing that just because he wanted to show what a great yogi he was, but he just wasn't interested in eating. He was interested in so much relishing the pastimes of Krishna. So if you're still relishing sleeping 8 hours a day, and if you have any material relish whatsoever, please don't talk like this. It's very harmful for your own spiritual life and for that of others also. It's artificial to say like that. It's offensive. If Raghunath Das Goswami says, "I'm not interested in Krishna," that's Raghunath Das Goswami. If we say it, we go to hell. I only like Krishna. I don't like Nrisingadev. I don't like all these other things. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to hear from Gadadhar Pandit, who is the incarnation of Radharani, regularly, again and again, from Srimad Bhagavatam about the pastimes of Dhruva Maharaj and Prahlad Maharaj. So it's very interesting, you've become more relisher of the mellows than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. If you misunderstand, then don't read it. Better. We have to see what's favorable for our spiritual life. If you feel lusty desire by hearing about Krishna, actually Rasleela, that Krishna's dancing. But if you feel lusty desires by hearing that, then better you don't read. That means, what's the advantage? Yes, but there's some qualification there also. One who hears with faith. That word is used. What's the verse? Did you learn that verse? Shraddhayat. One who hears. I don't know the whole verse. One who hears with faith. That means you have to, if you're firmly fixed in the concept that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, therefore, Amogha Lila, everything he does is spotless. Then you'll be purified. But if you're still thinking there's any mundane tinge in Krishna, then you'll become envious. Why am I not enjoying? Krishna's enjoying. Then you don't become purified, you become putrefied, rotten. How to develop faith? The whole process of Krishna consciousness meant for developing faith. You can become faithful by associating with those who are faithful. Why don't you have faith? What's the problem? What you don't believe? What is your doubt? Let's clear it up. What is your doubt? If you're asking how to develop faith, that means you have a doubt. What is the doubt? Or doubts? What's the problem? What's the doubt? What don't you believe? Think Bhagavad Gita is false? Krishna is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead? You sure Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Not sure. Go on hearing. If he's not, then who is? Is there God? Is it all just a big illusion? Was Darwin right? Is there God? Is there any supreme living being? You're not sure. I'm sure. If there's no God, then how is everything existing, and what for? Even with our paltry intelligence, it's absolutely logical to accept there must be God. Everything's not just going on out of some crazy fantasy, just by chance. Nothing happens by chance. If you want this tape recorder to record, you can leave it. If it's not on, you can leave it there for 10 million years. It's not going to by chance go on. So all the functions of the universe, which are so complex, is not simply happening by chance. There's a reason, there's intelligence behind it. So at least at that level we can accept God. God must exist. And God exists, well, why? What's it all about? That he explains through Shastra, that's his communication with us. And Shastra shows, who is God? We don't know. You can do experiments for 10 million years. You won't find God in your test tube. That has to be revealed by Shastra and Acharya. We saw also Acharya, Prabhupada. If you don't accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality,